This week on What's Going On with Earl Ingram, Earl welcomes analysis and author Casey Fleming for a fiery yet respectful debate on China and the alleged war on Americans. Piece by piece, Earl challenges Fleming's assertions, pushing back hard while digging into what these global tensions could mean for the future of American people. Find out all this on the next exciting episode of What's Going On with Earl Ingram, and you can follow us on civicmedia.us or wherever you find your podcast. Then please remember to like, share, and subscribe so you never miss the conversation.
Welcome back to What's Going On with Earl Ingram. This morning, it is a honor and a privilege to introduce to you Mr. Casey Fleming. He's a counterintelligence expert and CEO of Black Ops Partners. He connects all the geopolitical dots. Fleming is the author of the number one best-selling book in national and international security, and he is not in the business of conjecture. The post-war order functioned only while opposing blocs and shared purposes existed. Both have now collapsed. Russia, China, Iran, North Korea cartels, and terrorist organizations openly challenge a West they view as decadent, while a divided European Union struggles to respond decisively. It's with that backdrop, I say welcome to you and good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you on the air. I have to always begin by saying I am a 71-year-old man who's certainly lived in this country my entire life, who's witnessed our nation, its advancements, its drawbacks. And I will tell you that I'm a person who thinks that we spend much too much money and time focusing on, you know, war than we do on the American people. With me having said that, what are your thoughts about what I just said about all of these, you know, endeavors and involvements and entanglements that just continue to be priority one with our nation?
Well, I agree. We spend a lot of time on wars and not enough on the American people. But on the other side of it is when there's war declared on you, you have to act. And the war has been declared on the American people, not the American government, not the American military, but the American people, all of us. War has been declared by the Chinese Communist Party, and we've been in that war for many years, and it is at an extreme maturing point now that can no longer be ignored.
You know, sir, why it's so hard for me to inculcate that view of things is, again, I gave you my age because I remember not so long ago we were in partnership with China. We moved all of our industry over there, created a partnership. And as we speak, if there's such an enemy, our corporations are over there. There seems to be a conflict of interest, sir. If they are who you say they are, then why are we still doing business with them?
Corruption. The Chinese Communist Party calls it captured elites. They pay for people. If they can't pay for you to take money, and get you to take money, then they compromise you.
No, I'm talking about the corporations. American corporations are willfully and voluntarily there, and they've been doing business there. We still do business with them.
That's correct. They are corrupted and addicted to the CCP money.
Sir, who is they? Who is the they that you are referring to? Americans?
American businesses that are heavily invested in China. Basically everybody's been played by China. All the American people, left, right, center, corporations, government, we've been sold a bill of goods by a totalitarian communist regime. And I'm not here talking conjecture. I'm not here talking conspiracy theory. I'm talking about counterintelligence. And our company is part of a global network of over 400 intelligence experts, as well as subject matter experts. And that's, all I did was connect the dots. And that's all I do is every day with my company and my folks is we connect the dots. And nobody was getting this information out to the American people, which is why I ended up writing a book. Football wise, we're down to a 2-minute warning with no timeouts left. That's where we are as a country. And by the way, we have much more in common together, left, right, center. We have more in common together than we have in common with our enemy. And make no mistake, the Chinese Communist Party and China is your enemy. You've heard of COVID. What about COVID-2, COVID-3, COVID-4? You've heard of fentanyl. It's actually double that, double than the government number. It's about 150,000 murdered military-aged young men and women every year murdered. You don't see that in mainstream media. Why? It's the equivalent of 2 737s going down every single day. Why are you not hearing about that?
So you're mentioning these numbers, and you're saying that these American citizens are being killed. You mean killed by fentanyl?
Fentanyl.
So, you know, I'll say it. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Nobody forces fentanyl on the American people. So the American people have to fix that internally. You know, if there was no desire for fentanyl, nobody's forcing anybody to take fentanyl. So there are many more Americans who don't indulge in that than there are who do. So to say that the people who are putting that in the market are the ones who are killing the American people, I think that's too simplistic, because nobody forces you to do that, sir. And if I'm following your train of thought, that makes them our enemy because they're killing the American people. That's pretty harsh.
The Chinese Communist Party has called Americans their enemy, their mortal enemy, for years. Xi Jinping calls it the people's war against the American people. We are in a war. Two Chinese colonels wrote a book in 1999 calling it Unrestricted War. That's exactly what they're in. They've done a masterful game at developing this war against the American people. Your comment on fentanyl is absolutely accurate, but it's only one side of the problem. The other side is the origin, which is Wuhan, China, is the number one capital of the illicit fentanyl in the world. They ship it to the western coast of Mexico called Michoacan and distribute it there. They also do money laundering through the cartels, as well as distribution, as well as human trafficking. So we're in a war. There's no question about it. It's not my opinion. It's after looking at this, the intelligence every single day for nearly two decades. So I'm telling you what I see. I'm not telling you what my opinion is. I'm telling you what I see. So, and that's why I wrote the book, to connect the dots.
So here's where it's hard for me to hear it and see it from your perspective. When the president of the United States sits down and sups with Xi Jinping and the Chinese, and they have cordial conversations, the president of the United States doesn't see it that way, sir. So if the president of the United States, the most powerful man in the world, does not see it from that perspective, why should we?
Well, my firm advises Congress, Pentagon, White House. So we know what the president knows. We know what the cabinet knows. We know all of it, okay? And it's the president has to play the game, just like Xi Jinping is playing the game with us and the rest of the world. There's all kinds of movement going on with the deck chairs, but there's a surface game, but then there's also the game that's being played under the surface, the tip of the iceberg and then the iceberg underneath it.
So what do you suggest? Because it certainly appears to me that that what is being suggested here is that they have declared war on us. We need to declare war on them, which to me, that kind of language and dialogue, when both are nuclear armed and China is not the sleeping tiger that it sleeping lamb that it once was. China is now a very powerful, developing nation that certainly is on competition, if not militarily, which they're working on, but also economically. And so we're not talking about Venezuela. We're not talking about Iran. We're talking about one of the most powerful nations on earth. What do you suggest we do?
Well, I'm certainly not talking about conventional war with ships, guns, troops, bombs. I'm not talking about nuclear war. I'm talking about being informed on the type of war, the actual war that they've levied on the American people. Remember, two Chinese colonels wrote the book on unrestricted warfare in 1999. Okay, that was 27 years ago. So they've been perfecting it masterfully to, basically it's called death by a thousand cuts. And there are about 950 cuts in on the American people, and not just the right, not just the center, but also the left. So we're all being played together, and we have much more in common with each other, and we share a common enemy, and much more in common with each other than we do with our enemy.
So the sky is falling, if I'm to, you know, reference Chicken Little. We don't see it. Is that what you're saying? Our government doesn't see it. And yet you and others that are engaged in what you guys do, you see it and the rest of us don't.
That is absolutely correct.
Okay. You know, It is more than alarming, sir, when we hear about. So you think these things are imminent?
They're not imminent. They're happening today. They've been happening for years. All this is orchestrated. There are over 100 methods of unrestricted war, and that's exactly what's going on. COVID was not an accident. COVID was an engineered, developed bioweapon by a totalitarian communist regime. And the problem is, we as American people forget what we learned in high school, that communism and totalitarian communism also is oil and water with freedom. And that's exactly what we're facing now. They are absolutely destined to retake. Their belief is they absolutely are destined to completely rule the world, because they say that they ruled the world for 2,300 years. The last 100 years was the century of great humiliation, where they didn't rule, and they want the Chinese dream. But the only thing in the way of the Chinese dream are the American people, every one of us.
I got to tell you, sir, as an American citizen, I look at my nation, and, you know, we've kind of been calling the shots globally, right? We've been doing this for the majority of my lifetime. We're the guys in control. When the USSR fell apart, we were the lone powerful nation on earth. It was the United States. We called the shots. We ruled everything. And so am I supposed to be concerned about other nations wanting to do that? I don't think any nation should rule the world. Not the United States, not China, not Russia. I think that freedom should exist. And I think that when we look at it from the perspective of, it's the reason that we have all the military spending that we have on all of this, because there are people who want to rule other people. That's not the way it should be.
You're 100% right. That's not the way it should be. But your enemy wants to completely rule over you and the state. In other words, you will not own anything. They will determine, they own all production and consumption. And if you look at, so there's only two sides to the coin. You either have freedom based on capitalism, or you have communism based on total state control of everything, production, consumption, land. You own nothing, you control nothing. You do not control your own destiny. The state controls your destiny and completely manages you and brutalizes you. So this whole China thing, people are misunderstand what China is and what they're all about. And they are an evil, very, very dark, diabolical regime focused on killing freedom around the world. That is their number one mission to do so.
Sir, I will tell you, capitalism, socialism, communism, all isms have their drawback and detriments. We live in a capitalistic society right now where there are 950 or so billionaires. And, you know, 20 years ago, there were 40. And at the same time, the billionaires have sprung up. The middle class in America has struggled and suffered. I can't be so concerned about, you know, communists when inside of our own borders, the American people are struggling and being, and capitalism, the way I was taught, the way it was derived, has evolved to something that's not positive for everybody. Did I lose you?
No, you didn't lose me. Is there a question there?
Yes. I can't be wasting time and energy on communism and socialism and those things that they scared me when I was a young man about. The communists are coming. I got to worry about what's happening inside of my own borders. How can we fix that?
That is correct. And yes, there is no perfect system. Capitalism is not a perfect system, and it definitely needs to be managed better, no question. But like I said, there's only two sides to the coin. You either got freedom that's backed by capitalism, or you got communism, and that's it. There is no in between.
But see, sir, when we look at it from that perspective, then it creates this what divides and what forces us to continue to spend the money that could be spent on making things better for people. When we look at it from that perspective, it's they're our enemies. They're our arch rivals. They're our enemies. And we've got to do everything we can because they're coming after us. And, you know, I don't know if that's so. I think, you know, we've got to do a better job. You and I are on the other side of our life cycles. We were terrified as young people about the Russians and nuclear war. And, you know, do we want to do that and harm the young people whose future it is not yours and mine? Don't we want to try to figure out a way for them to not be terrified the way you and I were?
Well, we do, but then there's also the facts of what's really going on in the world today. There's a thing called cognitive warfare, TikTok. That's a weaponized military application in the hands of our kids. Okay, and it's destroying their critical thinking. It's feeding them all types of propaganda for communism and against the United States and against their own country. So all these things are intelligence based, and they're all connected. Minneapolis is connected to this, Venezuela, Iran. It's all part of the master strategy called unrestricted warfare.
So let me ask you, because last year there was signals about TikTok and that the Chinese own TikTok. And so they wanted to ban TikTok. And it was the president of the United States who said, no, if what you say is so, then, sir, the president of the United States disagrees with you, because when the opportunity to do what you are saying presented itself, he chose not to do that. If it's such a dangerous reality, the President of the United States doesn't agree with you.
Well, that's really a shame, because TikTok is a weaponized application and it's a cognitive warfare tool against our children. Now, the president chose not to ban TikTok because he wanted the votes of the Gen Zs and the young. He didn't want, so when you get rid of TikTok, you're gonna piss off a lot of people, a lot of young, and they won't want to vote for you. So that's why maybe the president decided to keep TikTok. Now, as far as software on the TikTok, I know something about that because before I get into counterintelligence, I'm a software executive. I've done Silicon Valley turnarounds, and I'm here to tell you that you cannot sell TikTok and you can't sell software to somebody else and just say it's all cleaned up and it's all better. TikTok was sending information, we have the proof, sending data, all of the kids' data, their geolocations, where their bedrooms are, where they're going to school, what time, how gorgeous they are, you know, because they're on camera all the time. Your facial recognition, your bio recognition, all that stuff. People don't understand the power of technology. Let me just say one thing. When people pull a cell phone up to their face, a smartphone up to their face, the power of that phone and the power of the applications, and this is coming from a software executive, is the same power that a 9mm has on the brain, the way it kills the brain and takes over the brain. Okay, it's the same kind of damage. So that cell phone, so what do we use? We should use it only for communication because these apps are tracking every bit of your data and sending it back to enemies as well as Silicon Valley to be used against you. So it's much deeper than the simplistic way that most people see it. And that's the reason I wrote the book as a whistleblower to call it out. I'm not giving you opinion. I'm giving you intelligence. The book is backed up by 21 of the who's who in the intelligence industry, as well as subject matter experts.
So I don't disagree. I don't disagree with you from the perspective of the inherent dangers of this medium and the technology and the phones and the laptops and all of those things. I agree with you that there are clearly some real problems, but I think the problems with them are more what happens to the physical human being who continues to use them and the damage that they do to the human body. But when you say, as even U.S. allies reassesses their alignment and Western fragmentation, the absence of the renewed deterrence leaves only one alternative to today's disorder, escalation toward a new, potentially catastrophic world war. This is a fight to the finish, the final war, total war. I have to tell you, sir, when you speak in, you know, that colloquial language, that is something you're trying to terrify the American people as if this is imminent warfare and imminent warfare with China. Let's make no mistake about it. Or Russia is something that none of us want to see. There's nothing good that can come from that.
Let me clarify. You are in World War III today. You are already in it, and you are in World War III with China, Russia, Iran, Pakistan, and it's called the Chinese Communist Party redefined what war is. We think war is binary. You either have troops and ships and military, or you don't. They redefined it as everything short of conventional war to weaken your enemy from the inside. So you're in World War III today. There is no question about it. And by the way, I wrote the book for you, Earl, and everybody else, my brothers and sisters in the free world. Somebody had to stand up and be counted and to be a patriot and to whistleblow this information.
So let me say to you, sir, with all due respect, China and their ability to see into what is happening in our country, their technological advancement and all those things. Hey, we aren't just sitting on the corner ourselves. Our advancement, whatever it is they are doing, we are doing as well. And so to act as if, you know, we are so far behind and sitting out on a corner and not doing anything. America's intelligence is second to none, sir. And so if China is doing any of those things to our nation, you best believe we're doing the exact same thing and more to them. So I think we should stop acting as though this nation is, you know, in the dark ages. It's not. It's the most powerful nation on earth. It's always has been, and it always will be. And its technological advances equal to any in China, Russia, or anywhere else.
Do you want me to comment on that?
Yes, sir.
You're in the war. You're talking about our intelligence organizations. That's where I work. Okay. I just told you, 21 of the top intelligence who's who have endorsed the book. One of them actually said, ignore this book at your peril. And he was kind of the number two in the entire intelligence community worldwide for the free world.
Yeah, but he's not
so
the United States government.
You're talking about my space and my industry of what I work on. So our intelligence, by the way, did you know that our entire intelligence operation and apparatus was blowing up for China in the mid-2010s? All of our spies were, all of our operatives were outed. Several were executed. And instead of rebuilding it, we focused on the Middle East, and we're trying to rebuild it now. I think I know a little bit more about our intelligence community, for having worked it 7 days a week for the past 16 years.
Well, I would say this to you, sir. I'm not questioning whether or not, you know, I'd be a fool to argue with somebody who's in the field that you are in. What I'm saying to you is the United States government is a very powerful entity, and their intelligence is not Johnny come lately. And so I get it. You and others, colleagues of yours who are, you know, looking at it from your perspective. But the United States government is what I'm saying, sir. They're not, you know, they're nothing to be played with. The United States government's intelligence is the best in the world. And so, you know, you don't speak and work for the government. You work for private entities outside of it. And so, you know, they're not saying the things that you are saying. And so what you and other colleagues of yours are asking the American people is, trust us and don't trust the government in what is transpiring here.
Well, let me answer that. The government has different administrations that come and go, and they push their own agendas and their own policies. So it also, our government is also very, very fragmented. Our government is also compromised to a large degree. So just a blanket trust in the government, the government got us here because of failures and missteps and so on. And incidentally, over the past 16 years, I advise Congress, I advise Pentagon, I advise DOJ, FBI, National Counterintelligence and Security Center, which all the counterintelligence directorates roll up to that center. The U.S.-China Commission, I advise these entities and many more, as well as the Fortune 500, where we see the theft of IP every single day. The theft being taken away from our corporations, our livelihood, and our national security.
So I guess, you know, I would say to you then that, you know, some of us maybe because cognitive dissonance or whatever the reasons are, we don't choose to live our life in fear. And life is too short. And if you're asking us to, they're coming. Oh, the Chinese are coming. Oh, it's coming. It's going to happen. And, you know, as you stated here, the final war, total war. This is a fight to the finish. That language, sir, denotes that we should all be worried daily because they're coming. You know, it's kind of like, you know, this danger, Will Robinson, danger, danger, danger. The aliens are coming. Well, you know, life is short, and we've got enough things to worry about in our own lives than to not be so alarmed that this is imminent. You speak as if these things are imminent. And even if they are imminent, sir, you know, I just think that it's not the kind of thing that we should be concerning ourselves with on a daily basis. There's enough worry and concern with the American people about feeding their families and all the other aspects of their lives. And one of the reasons why, you know, I kind of wanted to have this conversation, I'd never met this gentleman, but somebody suggested that, you know, it would be something, a conversation that we could have and should have. And so, you know, I accepted the opportunity to have the dialogue. And so if we're at a point where, you know, we can't have dialogue with people, then fine. But I think that we ought to be very careful about what people are saying. People who profess to be somebody special. Well, you know, I'm from, you know, a group of people, and we all, the kind of people who have done research on all these things. And so, you know, I wrote a book, and so I wrote this book, and because I wrote this book, this is what's happening. Well, no. I think American people have to be very careful about people who declare themselves to be specialists in any way. And so, you know, it appears as though Mr. Casey Fleming has decided to exit stage right. Because I don't know if he thought that when he called and he wanted to appear on the show that this was going to be smooth sledding, that he was going to talk to somebody who had, you know, no common sense. And so that, you know, maybe he's going to be able to come on and talk about his book. But I don't do that. You know, I don't do podcasts or any information to help sell somebody's book. So he thought it was going to be easy sledding. It didn't appear to be easy sledding. It was more difficult than he could have possibly thought. So even with all the fanfare about, you know, who this person was, well, we've come to find out that when we hear people constantly talking about why we should do this or why we should do that, the answer is, listen, I don't want to use the verbiage expose, you know, but here's a man who professed to have all the answers globally. And when it came time to having a give and take and a conversation with yours truly, he decided, hey, let me cut the bait. Let me get out of here before I get exposed. You know, I don't know what he thought he was going to have. You know, if he thought this was going to be an easy conversation, it's not ever going to be an easy conversation because, if nothing else, you know, I've lived long enough to have realized that there, we have to push back on people who want to terrify us, right? Life is much too short, and so don't believe everything that you hear, right? Don't believe everything that people say. So he presented himself as this, you know, powerful guy who had all this background and knowledge. And I don't know if you noticed, but when I hit him with the truth many times, he couldn't answer. I wondered if he was still on if he was still there. If we couldn't see him, you know, through the stream yard, I would have thought he had left. But my goodness, we can't live our lives in fear. So the more you hear people constantly talking about, oh, the Chinese are coming, oh, the Russians are coming. Listen, let's focus on what's happening inside of our own nation. Let's deal with that reality. And all the rest of that stuff, we'll certainly distance ourselves from it. If nothing else, what we learned or should have learned today, and I've learned from having this conversation, is people aren't always what they seem to be. And so I'm going to end this podcast now. But thank you all for taking the time out to listen. Listen, we're going to keep on having conversations with people from different parts of the world, from different segments of society, from different political views, because the world is a big place. And there are things going on all over it that we should be concerned about. And that's what, you know, what's going on with Earl Ingram likes to touch on. So until the next time, that's a wrap for What's Going On with Earl Ingram. See you next time.